Bibles, please, turn with us to the book of Acts, the 16th chapter of the book of Acts. 16th chapter of the book of Acts, please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. Verse number 13, "And on the Sabbath we went out of the city by riverside, where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, and she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us." Let us pray. Father, I certainly want to thank you, Lord, again today for your goodness, your kindness. Thank you for the precious Bible, the Word of God. And Lord, I ask you again today for your wisdom and your power as we preach. Sure need your help today, Lord. And I ask you to do the work in all of our hearts that need to be done. We'll thank and praise you for it. In the lovely, wonderful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to preach a message this morning which I've entitled a Great Example of Conversion. You know, throughout the Bible, throughout the Word of God, God gives us examples of people getting saved. And what happens and how they get saved, of course, we're real familiar with the way they get saved, and that's through Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, trusting in His shed blood. And yet, we sometimes neglect to remember the rest of it. Over and over and over in the Scriptures, God has given us examples of people come to know the Lord as their personal Savior and what happens after that. Now, we know that you get saved by faith in Jesus Christ. That's for sure. But you know, conversion, and that is salvation, but you know, conversion after salvation certainly involves other things. God has other plan for our life. And in this three verses of Scripture, God gives us a tremendous, tremendous example of what happened at Lydia's conversion. And what we're going to do is we're just simply going to take a few moments this morning and look at this. We find Paul down by the riverside where some women had gathered together and at a prayer meeting. We heard that Lydia was a worshiper of God, but they was at a prayer meeting there along the river. And Paul come along and began to speak with them the Word of God. Now, we'll talk about that in a few moments, but I don't think any of us would have any trouble about the Apostle Paul, what he would be preaching. Because all through the book of Acts and everywhere Paul preached, he preached Jesus. And even though it doesn't give us his sermon exactly, word for word, what he said, there's no doubt in my mind what he preached. And the reason is, of course, there was a lady here got saved. Her name was Lydia. And she was listening very intently to what was said. And the Bible said the Lord opened her heart. Opened up her heart because of the Bible, the Word of God being preached. Her heart was open. Now, over in other scriptures, you'll find a jailer that got saved. And an earthquake happened. I mean, it shook the jail so much that it opened up the doors and all the stocks off of the prisoners. And right after that, this jailer got saved. And yet you look here and you find Lydia getting saved. There was nothing like that happen. It was just a quiet, quiet conversion. I think that's interesting because God does that sometimes. Salvation comes instantaneously to people. It always comes instantaneously, but it seems like all at once they hear the gospel and they say, yeah, that's right, I want to be saved. And sometimes it takes some time. Sometimes it's gradually as they listen and hear the Bible preached and takes time for them to listen to it and hear it, and God deals with their heart. Here we have a situation here where this Lydia heard the Word of God. And I don't know if she'd ever heard it before. I have no reason to believe she'd ever heard about Jesus before. I have no reason to believe that. But she was a worshiper of God. She was meeting on the Sabbath day. And here she was being taught from Paul, Apostle Paul, about the Lord Jesus Christ. And God said, and the Bible says, he opened her heart. Now, what I'm simply saying is this. The main important thing is not whether an earthquake happened when you got saved, or whether you were sitting on a creek bank somewhere, or whether you was just sitting in a church house, or maybe in a car, or wherever it might be you might have been sitting, is not the important thing. The important thing is this morning is that you know personally that you have received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That's where your faith is. Don't get caught up in the how it happens, because so many people get saved in different places, different circumstances, and that is not what is real important. It may be important to your testimony, but it's important that you know that you have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And there was a place, a time when you did that. And that's what's important. And I want to show you, though, this morning, and I always like the fact when God takes time out, and here are three verses out of the Bible. And it's so interesting to me, because of all the verses that's in the Bible, he takes three verses here and tells us about a lady that got saved. Really, two of them tell the story, but the other one leads into the fact of Paul coming and preaching to him. But two verses, and yet so much is said in those two verses and gives us such great example of what happened to a person when they got saved. I've always thought it interesting and wonderful the way that God chooses ordinary people and just uses them for His glory. That amazes me. I'm constantly amazed at the goodness of God and how He'll just take people who are just ordinary folk, and a lot of times folk who wouldn't be ever thought of by the world and think how great they was or anything like that. God just takes ordinary folk and saves their soul and uses them for the glory of God. I think it's just amazing to me how he does that. Now, I think by people who know more about all of this than I do, but I've read concerning Lydia, more than likely being from Thyatira, probably more than likely God used her to help bring the gospel to Europe. More than likely, that is true. And I think it's so interesting because God chooses people out, saves their soul, and uses them to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to other places. You remember how He took Carey, a very important missionary, and took him over into India and spread the word of God. You remember how He took Livingston and took him over to Africa and there began to do a great work in Africa, and many multitudes were saved. Well, that's just God reaching down, taking this person and that person and using them for the glory of God. And that's why I get excited when I think about what God can do through a life that's completely dedicated to Him. I'm amazed what God can do in taking one life and do through that life if you'll just dedicate your life to Him and be willing to be used for Him. It's amazing what God Almighty can absolutely do. I think it's interesting to know what God could do in your life. What God could do, what God has planned, and what He's already done, but what He has planned for your life and what He wants to do through you. That's exciting to me. And I think it's wonderful. And here He took a lady by the name of Lydia and used her, I believe, very, very greatly. Now, first of all, I'd like to mention to you that Lydia, before she was saved, was a worshiper of God. The Bible says in verse 14, "And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God." She was a worshiper of God before she was ever saved. We've got to remember, folks, and that this is something that is very, very concerning to me, because I was a worshiper of God before I was saved. I was a church member. I thought I was saved. I would have been called a worshiper of God. I went to church, maybe off and on, but I went to church. And if you'd have asked me about going to heaven, I probably would have said yes. More than likely, yeah, I'm going to go to heaven. I've been a good little boy. I've done all these things. You've heard me say these things before. But what I'm simply saying is, you can be a worshiper of God and be lost as you can be. You can be a believer in God and be as lost as you can be. In other words, believe that He exists and be just as lost as you can be. Now, what I'm saying is, Lydia, here she was, took the time out on the Sabbath day, came down to where some women was worshiping God and joined in, took her time to do that. You tell me she wasn't a worshiper of God. You tell me she was not sincere. No, I believe she was a very sincere lady. But the problem was, she was not saved. She had never truly put her faith in the right place. You see, God, through the Word of God, began to open her heart, and she began to understand that she must come through Jesus Christ in order to get ready for heaven. I think there's multitudes of sincere people who regularly attend church. I believe this because, as I said, I was that away. Before I got saved, I went to church. I'd done what I thought would be right to do. And I think there's people out here today who are attending church. Say, if you ask them, would they believe in God? Yes. Would you a worshiper of God? I think they would say, yes, I am. But they're not Christian. They've never put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. A man this week said to me, he said, I just want God to know I believe in Him. Well, that's good. I mean, it is. I'm not condemning that. I want God to know I believe in Him. But there was no trust or faith in what Jesus had done for him. And there's a difference. Lydia was a worshiper of God, but had she ever put her faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? No, absolutely not. In fact, I don't even think she had ever really heard the gospel presented. I think this is probably the first time she ever heard the gospel presented as Paul presented it. I'm simply saying to you is it's possible to be a worshiper of God, to believe in God without being saved. You must put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died for your sins. Believing you're a sinner, lost, needing a Savior who is the Lord Jesus Christ, putting your faith and trust in Him and Him alone. And God will save you. Amen? So I'm just putting that warning out there to all of us. And if you're saved this morning, you won't mind that. You'll say, it's good for me to check up where my faith is. Who am I trusting in? Who am I believing in? I'm believing in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died for my sins on the cross of Calvary, was buried and rose again. Amen. And is soon coming. Amen. So that's where your faith needs to be. Be sure it's in Christ, not just that you believe there is a God. Lydia believed that and was unsaved. Then Lydia come face to face with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If we're going to get saved, we must do it through the Bible, the Word of God. We must hear the gospel message that Jesus loves us. And you know, Lydia heard this message, this wonderful gospel message, and God opened her heart to it, and she believed it. You know, this morning, in all seriousness, if you should be here without Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you could also hear the wonderful truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you open up you allow your heart to be opened up by God and believe upon Him, and you too could be saved. You can put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. But anyway, she listened to the gospel and she was saved. That's why I want to stress to God's people this morning, the gospel must be presented. The gospel must be given. Now, I wasn't there, evidently, but I do know this, by all of other Paul's preaching, I know exactly what he preached. He preached unto her Jesus, and he told her how much Jesus loved her. However the words he put it in, I don't know, but he told her how much Jesus loved her and how Jesus had died on the cross for her sins and was buried and rose again. He told her those things, and the Bible says that God opened her heart, she believed. I'm saying to you, we must give them the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm stressing that, I'm saying that to you, because everyone out here should be, to some degree, soul winners. You should be witnesses for Jesus Christ. You absolutely ought to have somebody, some people that you are praying for and that you are doing your best to witness to get the gospel of Jesus Christ to them so they'll be saved. And I'm simply saying to you, it's not enough just to teach them about there is a God. You must teach them that there is a Jesus Christ who died on the cross for them and loves them and wants them to be saved. I'm simply saying to you that that's the way Lydia got saved. She got saved by listening to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, you see. It came to her mind, but God opened her heart. And she believed. It's not enough just to believe up here with the head. We must believe in the heart. And that'll do something for you, as we're going to see here, as it did for Lydia. She believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only that, you'll notice that Lydia lost no time whatsoever in confessing her Lord. If you'll notice, it says, "And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, and she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul." How did she listen? How did she hear that gospel? She attended to them. She listened very carefully to what was being said. People need to listen more to preaching. You ought to attend to the preaching. You ought to listen to the preaching. You ought to listen to the gospel of Jesus Christ. You ought to hear that, and it'll do something for your heart. That there's others who don't want to hear it, and so they don't hear it. They turn it off in their mind. They do all kinds of things to think about other things, and they won't listen. But Lydia did not do that. That's why God could work and open her heart. Lydia listened to the gospel. And then she lost no time whatsoever, because in verse 15, "And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there." And she constrained them. The thing was, is this, she lost no time whatsoever in confessing the Lord Jesus as her Savior. How did she do that? The Bible says she was baptized. Now, folks, listen, that's God's ordained way of confessing your belief in Jesus Christ. It's not salvation, but it's absolutely the way God intends for you to confess Him before men, confessing through baptism. You look through the Scriptures, and we just don't say much about it anymore, but when you find people saved in the Scripture, you always find them following in baptism. It's not because they're going to get saved through baptism. It's because they truly believed. And they confessed their belief through baptism. Associating yourself with the death of Jesus Christ, being buried in Christ, being raised in the newness of life in Christ. In the baptismal waters, you are confessing that what has happened to you is that you now have become a Christian, that you believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. What I'm saying to you is people need to confess Christ after they get saved. It's not salvation, but it's confessing of Christ after they get saved, and a great way to do that is to get baptized. And a proper way to do it, because that's what the Bible says. Bible said people get baptized. That's what they did in the Bible. If they'd done it there, they ought to do it now. See, you need to, first of all, get saved. You need to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Truly believe upon Him, not just believe about a God. You need to believe in Jesus Christ. And then after you've believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to be baptized. You need to follow the Lord in baptism, you see. I thought about this before. I think it must have been a wonderful service. It very possible, after she got saved, they may have went right down there where they was meeting as a group. On the river there, and they may have went right down to that very spot, and that may have been Paul took her right down into that water and baptized her, because she got baptized. I think that must have been a wonderful service. Why? Because she truly believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and she followed Him in baptism, which is just the confession of what you believe down in here in your heart. You see, multitudes of people today want to say they believe, and they never do anything whatsoever for God. They don't even confess Him as the Savior. They simply just say, "I believed, I accept Christ as my personal Savior," but no evidence has ever come from it. I believe with all of my heart, and I'm believing this more the older I get. I'm like B.R. Lakin, and I'm like some of them others. Now, I'm not like them, but I believe like them. I think there's multitudes of people in our Baptist churches that are just lost. You see, we've preached such a lily white thing about this fact. Just say it with your mouth and you're all right. That's not true. But it better come from the heart. It better come from down here in the heart. That's where it has to come from to get saved. And Lydia here absolutely confessed the Lord as her Savior by being baptized after she got after she got saved. What a testimony that would be to those around her. We're going to find out in just a moment it done something for her family. Now, I'm saying to you, you know what a testimony that is if you get saved and you come up here and you get baptized? What a testimony that is to the people that come and watch you get baptized? That's a tremendous testimony. That's a wonderful thing. You're saying, I got saved. I'm God's child now. Now, I want to follow the Lord in baptism. I want to do right. And that's what Lydia did. And because of that, you'll notice because of that, she was such a blessing to her own home. Now you look here in verse number 15, and when she was baptized and her household. Now folks, listen, they didn't get baptized just because Lydia got baptized. They got baptized because they got saved also. They saw the testimony of Lydia that she had believed, and because of that, her household also believed. The Bible says over in the book of Psalms, the 68th Psalm, God setteth the solidarity in the families. And I want to tell you, this is a good example here of the solidarity being set in the families. You know why God saves you? So your family then can get saved. You can be a testimony to your family. God saves you because you're a sinner. You need to be saved, certainly, but then that goes and spreads out into the family. That's God's intention. You don't want to say, I'm going to get saved and I'm going to keep my boys and my girls and everybody else at home, and I'm going to go to church and I'm going to get baptized and I'm going to do that. You're not setting solidarity in the family. You get saved, you need to follow the Lord. And then that'll spread throughout your family. Time and time again, I've witnessed it in my years as a preacher. I've witnessed over and over and over. I've seen somebody get saved and all at once that began to spread out into the other family part members. Oh, that's the way God intended it. That's the way it's supposed to be. And now you notice here, you see Lydia absolutely being such a blessing here to her family, because she got saved, she got baptized. The others said, well, I want to get saved too. It just spread throughout the family, you see. That's God's plan. That's the way God wants to do it. I got saved in 1966. My wife got saved in 1966. As a result of that, my family got saved. Our grandchildren are saved today. I didn't save them. God saved them, but it began to spread throughout the family. Now, I didn't go home after I got saved and said, okay, we're saved now. Your mom and dad's saved now. Let's just stay home on Sunday and read the newspaper and let's do what I want to do and whatever. Let's go here and there and go down to the beach on Sunday. No, 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 no. I got saved. I started going to church and bringing my children with me. Setting them in pews to listen to the Bible, the Word of God being preached. And that's the way it does. Some of you young folk who have parents that are not saved, you be the example in that home. You go home and be the example. Let them know that you're saved, you're born again, and you want to be faithful to God's house. You be that example. I'm simply saying here, Lydia was a blessing to her own family. After she got saved, she got baptized, and because of that, others in her family wanted to also get saved and baptized. Not only that, Lydia's faith showed itself in good works. Folks, listen to me. You've heard this preacher preach too long. You know I don't believe in work salvation. You can't work to get saved. Impossibility. Can't be done. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by His mercy He saved us. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves, a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You go through all the Word of God and you find out you're not going to get saved by the deeds of the law. But what I am simply saying is this, she showed forth her faith through good works. Listen in verse number 15, and when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there, and she constrained us. I'm simply saying to you folks that there's a new heart here when you get saved. And because of that new heart, there's going to be some new actions. It's going to be different ways that you're going to look at something. Lydia, you see, invited him into her house and said, come on in. Come on in. Let me help you. Let me be a blessing to you. I want to be a blessing. Why? Because her heart had changed. God had saved her soul and her heart had changed. If you go through the scriptures, you'll find the same thing over and over. You find the jailer after he got saved. What did he do? Well, he took Paul and Silas and took and washed their stripes. They'd been beaten over, terrible, and took them into his house and washed their stripes. Fed them. You know why? New heart. Works began to come out, not to be saved, but because they was saved. So I'm simply saying to you, it ought to show forth. Faith ought to show forth something in your life. Maybe a little at a time. Maybe not very much. But I'm just simply saying to you, somewhere along the line, faith produces a difference in a life. Still fight some battles. Still have terrible times. You fight all those things. But you don't look at things like you used to. I want to tell you something. When I got saved, there was never a time after that that my preacher ever come to my house. I hid from him. There were some times when I hid some things from him. But I never hid from him. Scurried around throwing Oh, hi, Brother Evans. Come on in. Yeah, those were those early years of no growth. But I love my preacher for saving me. I mean, showing me how to be saved. See, there's a difference. And before, I didn't care much about a preacher coming. Going down the road. Got other things to do. Right, Mrs. Ross? But we got saved. And your whole heart's different. See, that's what worries me. Some people's heart just don't seem to be any different than it was before they confessed. Something badly wrong. Amen. So I'm simply saying to you, you see, Lydia's faith showed itself in good works. Zacchaeus, you remember what Zacchaeus done, the tax collector, after he got saved? I'll sell all my goods and give half of it to the poor. I want to tell you something, folks. Zacchaeus wouldn't have done that 10 minutes earlier. He was a tax collector. Tax collectors were thieves. But something happened to Zacchaeus. He got saved. And he said, you know, I think God wants me to sell all this and give half of it to the poor. Why? New heart. New heart. And because of that new heart, it began to show itself in new works. I want to show you Lydia's desire, the desire of her life after she got saved. Look with me in verse 15. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. Do you know what she wanted above all? Be faithful to the Lord. Lydia got saved, and you know what she wanted to do? She wanted to please the Lord. Now, do you think Lydia, after that, maybe pulled some boners? More than likely, she did. More than likely, she certainly was not perfect after that. But I want to tell you, the desire of her heart was this: I want to please God. And I just happen to believe something. I just believe when you truly get saved, you know, you may not please Him all the time, but you want to. Your desire is there to want to please God. That becomes the desire of your life. Why? Because He's your Savior now. You're born again. And Lydia not only showed forth in her works, but she showed forth that she wanted to please God. Now, I think this portion of Scripture is a wonderful, wonderful example of a conversion of a person who got saved. I think Lydia fought battles just like anybody else fights battles after that. She was a businesswoman. She was a seller of purple. I think she fought some battles after that. I think she had to make a lot of changes in her business world. I'm just simply saying, though, the desire in her heart was, I want to please God. I want to be faithful to Him. I just want to be faithful to God. So I believe this is a portion of Scripture that gives us a good example of someone who just got saved and what happened after salvation. Remember, you get saved here through faith in Jesus Christ. But it's after that you begin to grow. Amen? You begin to grow after that. You don't get saved by any of your works. But listen, friend, God expects you and wants you after you're saved to be do good and be and your works be peculiar works. In other words, right kind of works. After salvation. Amen? Amen? See, I'm just simply saying to you folks, you and I need to grow in Christ after we get saved. And we need to do like Lydia did. If you're here this morning, you say, I've been saved, Brother Ross. I know I'm saved. You've never been baptized. You need to get baptized. Now, baptism won't save you. If you're unsaved, you're just unsaved. You need to get saved. But if you're saved, you know you're going your way to heaven, you need to get baptized. You want to be a testimony for the Lord. Amen? So I trust this morning that you'll look at this example of Lydia and look at how she got saved and then what happened to her after salvation. And maybe it'll be a help and a blessing to you. Let us pray. Father, thank you again today for the wonderful grace of God, your wonderful goodness. And I certainly pray, Lord, should there be any in this room today that's unsaved, that this will be the day of their salvation. Father, you want to save them. You want to give them eternal life if they'll just be saved. Father, if they'll just be willing to put their faith and trust in you, you'll save them. You'll wash them clean. You'll give them eternal life. And I thank you for that. Now, Father, if there's any here that say, yes, I've been saved, but I've never followed the Lord in baptism, I trust they'll come and present themselves for baptism. I pray, Father, as a people, after we've done that, we've been baptized, Lord, that we ought to show forth our faith in the right, proper things. Lord, we ought to work. We ought to do the right kind of things because we're saved, not to become saved. I pray you work on our hearts and deal with us and help us to show forth our faith in Jesus' name. Amen.